How important is election integrity? Well, obviously, it's extremely important. We're going to talk about that right now with Bill Federer, who's a best-selling author and also an historian. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And, Bill, I've been talking with a couple different people about the subject of election integrity, partly because it seems as if the media is saying, essentially, okay, this race is over. Joe Biden is the president-elect. And, you know, basically Donald Trump is a sore loser. It's time to move on. Your thoughts?
Right. There's a tremendous amount of voter fraud that's obvious to everyone. And if we let the voter fraud go, we will never have another honest election in American history. And there's dozens of different ways to do voter fraud. I ran for Congress 3 times against Dick Gephardt, who was the Nancy Pelosi before the Nancy Pelosi. And we experienced things like my name being left off the ballot in 5 wards in the city of St. Louis. People went in to vote for me, and my name wasn't there. I spoke just recently in Oklahoma, and a lady had run for county commissioner, and she said that she had friends calling her saying that they went in to vote, and her name wasn't on the ballot in different wards. And she requested a copy of the ballot that was used in that area, and they refused to give her a copy of it. So that's one way to do voter fraud. And then we had in Jefferson County, Missouri, the electricity goes off on election night and in the entire building. And when they reboot the computers, we go from being ahead to behind. And we're saying, why would the electricity go off? They said, well, somebody was doing construction on another floor. It's like at 10 o'clock at night on election night. And so that was back in 15, 20 years ago. And so when the news came that in Georgia there was a water main that broke and they had to suspend accounting, I had friends that I had talked to in 15 years calling me up saying, this is exactly what happened to you. They had some emergency, and they used that as an excuse to do all the fraud. Well, lo and behold, the water main that broke was somebody had stuffed the urinal in the, you know, in the auditorium where they're doing the counting. It took them 1 hour to fix it. They just needed some excuse to have this disruption. And then the computers, even my brother's an attorney, and before the election, they were giving him a tour through the Board of Election and showing him the computers. And he noticed cables connecting to the Ethernet into the Internet. And he says, now, what are those for? Oh, well, those are for we can, you know, report election results right away. And then if there's any glitches or problems, you know, we can access it and correct it. And he goes, on election night, you can access the computers? And they go, yeah, you know, that's just to make sure that everything goes right. And he goes, well, how do we, what assurance is there that there's not somebody else that's accessing the computers? And there's only at most a half a dozen companies that have computer software machines. And they all are either foreign-owned or have foreign investors. And then there's different levels of fraud. One is what they call a trapdoor program, where they can access it from the back. Another is a date-sensitive voter fraud. So you can test the computers the day before and the day after the election. Works great. But the day of the election, it'll pre-sort the results to a predetermined percentage. There were even lawsuits against some of these voter machine companies where they had promised the person at the county office who was the one in the decision-making position to use their company versus another company, they said, if you choose our company, we'll make sure you get reelected. And so a lady, Mercuri, I can't remember her name exactly, she had a Wall Street Journal article, and she has her master's in computer machine software. She says you can either have accountability or anonymity. You cannot have both. If you want an anonymous ballot, then there's no way to have it be an accountable ballot, and there's room for voter fraud. The only way to absolutely make sure there's no voter fraud is you have to trace it back to the actual person, to their actual vote, and who they voted for. So what's the answer? You have to get back to paper ballots.
Yeah.
You think, well, there's millions of ballots. No, well, all you do is you have them count them on the small precinct level. Democrat, Republican, Independent, the judges sit around the table, They can be in a room with glass windows where all can be observed, and they count it as many times as they need to until they all agree and they sign off on it and they tape it on the window before it goes into any machine. And if you're running for office, you can drive around to all the little precincts, look at the number on the window, and it better add up to what's being talked about on television that night, the voter results. What we're seeing right now is don't really, just trust the central office to make sure that the vote is right.
But what's so frustrating about this, though, Bill, is that all the media outlets, including Fox News, so all the major media outlets, they're all basically, you know, going along with this if this is a charade. And it seems like it's a charade. By the way, to my knowledge, and you and I are speaking right now, in the year of our Lord 2020 on the 8th of December in the morning. I'm time stamping this because I'm about to say this. To my knowledge, Kamala Harris has not yet resigned her Senate seat. That's sort of a backhanded way of saying, I hope this thing works out, but if it doesn't, I don't want to lose my good job as a senator. You know, so anyway, the media is the one out there promoting this message that Biden has won, it's time to move on, and Trump's just a sore loser, and Trump's hurting the Republican Party each day that goes by with his opposition to these results.
Right. He's the last hope of the Republican Party. If they are able to get away with the massive Dominion computer machines that have people that are connected with George Soros being part owners, and then the computer machine tabulation going to some entity in Venezuela and then to Germany and everything. It's like, why is that? Now, just a little background. World War II ends, and Germany, France, England give independence to their former colonies, and they start brand new countries, Romania, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland. And these countries have brand new leaders, and they're climbing out of the post-war problem. It looks promising, except the Soviet Union decides it wants to export communism into all these countries, so they send in KGB agents. And what did they do? They break, identify groups, ethnically, economically, religiously, and they pit them against each other. They label some as victims and some as oppressors, haves and have-nots, and they would stage protests and riots and then they would co-opt the media with bribes and threats. And then they would nurture weak links in the military. And when the country got panicky enough, they would do a coup or a rigged election. And then they would replace the country's leader with a Soviet puppet. And the situation of bribing or threatening the media included having the media releasing false polling data prior to an election to show the country's popular leader as being unpopular. So when they would do the coup, fewer people would challenge it. And this is called a psychological operation. In other words, they realized that if they could manipulate the perception that the public has, they can control the public's response when they do a coup. Now, Truman does nothing as these countries are falling. Then Eisenhower decides he needs to get involved. Otherwise, the communists will take over these countries. And so 1953, Iran sides with the Soviet Union. Their leader is Mossadegh. He nationalizes their oil industry. You say, big deal. Well, wait a second. Britain had no oil fields. And so in 1908, Britain formed the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. You know it better as BP. And when the Iran nationalizes it, Britain has an oil shortage, and so they appeal to Eisenhower. Eisenhower approves the first CIA operation to overthrow a country's leader. It's Operation Ajax. The CIA operative on the ground is Kermit Roosevelt Jr., the grandson of Teddy Roosevelt, and he does fighting fire with fire. He organizes mobsters and gangsters and stages protests and riots and attacks mosques, and he has the media co-opted with bribes and threats, and then nurtures weak links in the military. And when the country's panicky enough, they march in, put the leader Mossadegh under house arrest, lock him away where he dies, and they install the Shah, who loved America. And then the CIA did the same thing in Guatemala in 1954, the Congo in 1960, Dominican Republic, even Chile in 1973, and the KGB did the same thing, with Brezhnev helping Yasser Arafat start the PLO, and Brezhnev helping Castro take over Cuba, and countries in Latin, South America, and Africa. This is called the Cold War. And so they all included what's called psychological operations. And then we see that during this time, what the CIA came up with something called Operation Mockingbird. You can look it up, but Operation Mockingbird. And that's where CIA would feed news media in America information that would form their views on foreign policy. And so they could go ahead and, you know, if we needed to go to war with some country, they realized the country had to go along, and so they would feed it. And with Time Magazine and all these different magazines participated in it. And now that was done by good people who wanted to defend America against the communists. And that was the way it was up until President Obama. President Obama, as everyone knows, took the IRS and used it, had Lois Lerner come in his office 147 recorded times, and the IRS, under her, targeted conservative organizations. And when she's called to do a congressional hearing, she just says, "I plead the fifth," stands up and walks out. And so the IRS had been co-opted for political purposes. And then we have Department of Justice. Eric Holder is in contempt of Congress because, fast and furious, he was having the Department of Justice giving guns to drug gangs in Mexico. And he ended up being pushed out of his office because of that. And so the Department of Justice, we began to see that the transgendered agenda was used to push conservative generals out of the military. Mm. I did a podcast recently, and there was a flag officer. He goes, "I was one of those officers pushed out." He goes, "There were 400 generals and colonels and commanders Reagan, it was no homosexual conserve in the military. And under Clinton, it was, you know, don't ask, don't tell. And then under Obama, it's you can serve openly, but not just serve openly. We're going to demand that everybody embrace this new agenda or we're forcing you out." And so the military had been co-opted for this political agenda of pushing the transgendered. We began to see this, but now under Obama, we see something called the deep state. So President Bush put in place the NSA, right, to keep track of all the communications in America to make sure there's no more terrorist attacks.
We have 2 minutes left. We have two minutes left. Okay.
Under Obama, it seems like these different departments of intelligence have been co-opted to do dirty background checks on conservatives and then leak stuff to the media to get them either pushed out of office like Michael Flynn or whatever. The one guy that listened in on the Ukraine telephone call,
Vindman.
They're leaking intelligence. Why is all this important? The tactics of manipulating the media for political purposes has been perfected for 70 years. Mm. And we're seeing, you know, these riots, the fact that they take place across the country and there's pallets of bricks dropped off. And so instead of it being a Russia collusion, false narrative, a Ukraine extortion, false narrative, the intelligence community and so forth, they've upped it. And these psychological operations of wanting to co-opt the media and feed them information to affect the election is a real thing. And that's why it needs to be getting your news from alternative sources, such
sure.
as your program.
So, and we have about 30 seconds to wrap up. Let me give you a website. It's AmericanMinute.com. But how about a closing thought in terms of Trump really needs our support and prayers, especially at this time?
Well, he definitely does. Now, all of what I talked about is in a new book I did called Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present at AmericanMinute.com. Yes, pray for Trump and get out there and put pressure on the Republican congressmen and senators to scream bloody murder. Say, we can't let this go. They're all keeping quiet thinking, let him take the heat. No, we need to put pressure on the rest of the Republicans to defend him.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us, Bill. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.